You're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
God, so good today. Hey, today we want to continue our series, What's Next? We can discover what's next out of God's Word. And in fact, I want to encourage you today that everything that is happening right now in the world is no surprise to God. And in fact, much of what is happening right now, much of what is unraveling right now, has already been written in the Scriptures. Thousands of years ago, inspired by the Holy Spirit, men and women of God began to write what the Lord spoke into their spirits, so that you and I have the benefit of being able to read the Scriptures. And therefore, when we look at what's happening in the world, we can go to the Scriptures. The Bible says that in the last days there'll be famine, there'll be war, there'll be rumors of war, and a whole bunch of calamities will happen. And we know that, and the Bible says, look, in the middle of that, you don't need to be discouraged. You don't need to feel uncertain or anxious. You can know that God's already declared it, and He says, "Take heart, because I have already overcome the world." And so, so let's be encouraged as we gather around God's word today. Today, I want you to turn with me. I want you to turn with me to the book of John and chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading in verse 5. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, his disciple, he asked him, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, or he already knew what he was going to do. Aren't you glad that no matter what goes on, God already has the answer in mind? That when He asks you a question, it's not that He doesn't know the answer. He already has the answer. Aren't you glad that God's already got a plan? Aren't you glad that His plan is not impacted by the environment? It's not impacted by government. His plan is a prevailing plan. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11 that God had a plan for your life. His plan for your life is for hope. His plan for your life is to give you a future. God has a plan. Somebody shout, "No, he's got a plan today. He's got a plan for your life." So he was testing Philip. He already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them all." And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. He said, "Listen, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that amongst this huge crowd?" Jesus replies, "Tell everyone to sit down." And Jesus said, So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves. He gave thanks to God, and he distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. Aren't you glad that when you have what God gives you, you can have as much as you want? In fact, another translation says it like this: and they were satisfied. It is God's plan, and it is God's purpose for your life, that when you eat of God, that when you eat of His purpose, that when you take in what God has for you, that you will be satisfied. You will find satisfaction in God's will. You will find satisfaction in God's purpose for your life. You will never find that kind of satisfaction anywhere else. You won't find it in money. You won't find it in career. You won't find it in relationships. I'm not saying those things are bad. Those things are all good. But if you don't have God as front and center in your life, then you can have all of those things and be totally dissatisfied, be totally empty. But if you have God, and if you have God's purpose as central to your life, then you will always be satisfied. And then the Lord will lead you into spacious places. The Lord will lead you beside rivers of living water. The Lord will satisfy you. Then after everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." The title of my message today, if you're making notes, write this down. If you haven't got a pen and paper, quickly run and find one and come and write this down. Grab your phone out if you have to, but don't text or email, but write notes. The title of my message, I want you to write this down today: nothing is wasted. I want you to say that nice and loud with me, wherever you're watching. Say it real loud. Let the neighbors know that Jesus is alive in your life. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Nothing is wasted. Would you point to the person next to you, or if you're by yourself, point to yourself and declare it over their life. Nothing is wasted. I'm here to tell somebody today that everything you've been in your life, every dark moment, every moment that you thought you'd never recover from, every moment that damaged you, every moment that hurt you, every moment that wounded you, every despairing place, everything that you thought was broken in your life, I'm here to declare to somebody today that in God's economy, in God's hand, nothing is wasted. That God takes all things and He turns it around for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. He says all things work together for good. Not just some things, not just the good things, not just the right things, not just the things that I kind of thought that people are going to be impressed by. The Bible says all things, not most things, not almost everything, but all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. This is an incredibly powerful passage of Scripture. In fact, this passage of Scripture, this story, is the only story, one of two stories, that are actually written in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are many stories in one Gospel. There are many stories in two or three. But there are only two stories that are written in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The only other story written in all four books is the story of the crucifixion. The story of Jesus dying on the cross and being resurrected from the grave. That's the only other story. That's a pretty important story, wouldn't you agree? In fact, it is the cornerstone of our faith. The cornerstone of our faith. What separates Christianity from every other belief system on the planet is this fact that Jesus Christ not only died on the cross, but He rose again from the dead, victorious over sin and death. And because Jesus rose again, you and I can rise again. Because Jesus was resurrected from dead to life, you and I can be resurrected from dead to life. All we've got to do is receive Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. So that's the only other story that is written in all four of the Gospels that lets me know that this story was considered so important by all four of the authors, so important to the Holy Spirit, that He chose to include this story in all four of the Gospels. It begins by saying that Jesus turned up to a place. And when He turned up to a place, there were so many people there. The Bible says there was a huge crowd. In fact, the story is affectionately known as Jesus feeding the 5,000. But as we've read here today, in fact, the story depicts 5,000 men only, not including their wives, not including their children. In fact, some theologians would say that Jesus feeding the 5,000 was, in actuality, Jesus feeding the 20,000. And so He's there. There's such a huge crowd. And as He's there, he turns to Philip. I love this. Philip, one of His disciples. He turns to Philip. He says, Philip, where can we buy bread for all of these people? Philip's looking at all the people and he's looking at Jesus. And he says, and begins to think in his natural mind. He says, listen, even if we had to work, we'd have to work for so long, for months and months, and we still wouldn't have any money to feed them. That's how much food we're going to need to feed this amount of people. And again, aren't you glad that your God is able to supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory? That He asked this question of Philip, not because he didn't have an answer, but he wanted to inquire as to how Philip would choose to respond. Philip chose to respond in a natural way, understandably. He was only seeing, thinking logically and seeing with his natural eye. But I want you to know that when God looks at a situation, He never just responds naturally. He responds supernaturally. He adds the super to your natural, and that becomes a supernatural provision, supernatural answer. I want to encourage somebody today. Don't look at your challenges just through natural eyes. No, no, no. You need to look at your challenges through heaven's eyes. Look at it through spiritual eyes. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store for those who love Him, for those who are called according to His purpose. It goes on, and then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Jesus says, tell everybody to sit down. I think that's interesting that Jesus, he made the statement. He says, listen, I'm not going to feed people standing up. I need them to sit down. See, there's something about sitting down. Sitting down means that we are in a posture of being able to receive. Sitting down is a posture where we're not distracted, we're not moving around. But sitting down means that we begin to cast our attention on the one who is speaking. And Jesus wants your attention today, my friend. In fact, one of the most valuable commodities today is not gold, it's not silver, it's not ore. One of the most valuable commodities today is attention. We live in an incredibly distracted world. And I know for me, you know, oftentimes, you know, we might be watching Netflix on the movies, but then, you know, the phone's going over here and you got the iPad going. Isn't that true in a contemporary world? But I just believe right now that the Lord wants to silence every distraction. He wants you to sit down. Sit down at the banqueting table of the Lord and partake of what God has for you. Even right now, if you've got a few distractions on, silence those distractions, close those doors, turn off those devices. The Lord has a word for you today, but He wants you to sit down. So they sat down and they all sat down on the grassy slopes. And then Jesus took the loaves. There was a boy there with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Jesus took the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. And He did something incredible. See, He took the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish, and He looked at the 20,000. And He didn't say, like the other disciples had said, well, what are we going to do with this? I don't know if this will help. He took it. He didn't say, oh no, this is not enough. He didn't say, what I have in my hand is not going to do it. Here's what He began to do. He began to give thanks. He gave thanks. And then, after He gave thanks, He broke the bread. And then after He broke the bread, He gave it away to the people. In fact, specifically, He put it in the disciples' hands, and then the disciples gave it to the people. And then afterwards, the people ate so much, they were satisfied. And after everyone was full, after everyone had eaten, and they'd had enough, and they were satisfied, then He said to the disciples, now gather the leftovers. And in fact, another version of the same passage says that they gathered 12 basketfuls of bread and of fish at the end. In other words, they started with 5 fish, 5 bread and 2 fish, and they ended up with 12 basketfuls. And He said, gather the leftovers, because nothing is wasted. There are 5 things that I want to give you today when it comes to embracing this notion that nothing in your life is wasted. And the first point is this: if we're going to be that kind of people who live full of faith, who live with expectation, knowing that God is for us and not against us, then number one, we've got to learn to be a people who give thanks. Jesus is there and he's not looking at the multitude and go, flip, I don't have anything. Here's what He did. The Bible says He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, and He gave thanks for it. Hey, listen, I know that right now, for many people, life is less than ideal. And I know that for many people, you know, a whole bunch of things have been lost. I know that for a whole bunch of people, people have lost jobs and lost businesses and lost loved ones, and our hearts are with you, and we're standing in faith with you, we're praying with you, we're mourning with you. I know that there are a whole bunch of things that we don't have anymore. But I know this to be absolutely true too, my friend. There are a whole bunch of things that we still have. There are a whole bunch of things that we can still give thanks for. I may not have everything I had, but I've still got something left. And I believe right now that wherever you're watching online, that God is bringing a revelation, not of the things that you have lost, but of the things that you have left. The Bible says Jesus came with what He had, and He just gave thanks for what He had. Hey, listen, could we be bold enough? Could we be faith-filled enough to begin to thank God for what we already have? Give thanks for the house of God. Give thanks for the marriage of God. Give thanks for the parents of God. Give thanks for the children I've got. Give thanks for the job I've still got. Give thanks for the life I've got, for the health I've got. Hey, listen, it may not be ideal, but let's begin to thank God for what we already have. Let's refuse to give in to the notion that when I get that, then I'll be happy. And when I have that promotion, then I'll be happy. And when I earn this, you know, a dollar figure, then I'll be happy. I'm not saying don't have goals. Let's have some goals. Let's push ahead in life. But let's be thankful for what we have today on the way towards what God has for us. Somebody shout, give thanks today. I love it that here at Forward Church, online, we sing a song, a powerful song that's called Waymaker. And the lyrics of the song simply go like this. Even when I can't see it, God is working. Even when I can't feel it, God is working. He never stops. He never stops working. Right now, God hasn't stopped working in your life. Even though you can't see it, He's still working. Even though you may not feel it, He's still working. He never stops working on your behalf. And if you receive that today, I need somebody to give God a great big shout of praise. Somebody shout like He's moving in your life. Somebody shout like the victory's on its way. Somebody give me some hands up emojis. Somebody give me some fire emojis. Somebody give me some heart emojis. God is moving in your life as we give thanks. Hey, the Bible puts it like this. If we're faithful with little, then we can be faithful with much. Hey, listen, if I don't thank God for what I have, then why would God trust me with more? I want to encourage somebody right now. Give thanks for what you've got right now. It may not look like much, but if you give thanks for it, and if you offer it to the Lord, and you take what little talent you have in your hand, and you give it to God, then God will bless it. I remember about 22 years ago, I've just realized recently that I've been pastoring for half of my life. For 50% of my life, I've been pastoring. And 22 years ago, I went and had a conversation with my senior pastor. I was a new Christian. And we began to have conversations about what I felt like God was calling me to do. And I felt like God was calling me to preach. I felt like God was calling me to pastor. He said, okay, that's great. And then he said, okay, well, if that's what God's called you to do, well, then I need you to start serving. And so he said, just go and join the worship team. In fact, I'd never ever sung before anywhere else. Before giving my life to the Lord, I began to sing in church, and he said, I want you helping kids and do all these different things. And then one day he comes to me, he says, Daniel, I want you to preach. And I was excited about it. I felt like it was God, what God was calling me to do. And but at the same time, I was incredibly fear-filled. It was like this was a big deal. I'd never preached before. And I remember praying and fasting for an entire week. I prayed and fasted for one whole week, and I wrote this message. And, I felt like I really heard from God, and I wrote this message down, and I turned up to Sunday church, and he introduced me, and I came to preach, and I preached my very first message. I preached my entire first sermon. The first time I ever preached was in a church called Porirua Christian Life Center in Wellington. And I preached the entire message from woe to go. I'd rehearsed it, I'd prayed for it, I'd fasted for it, and I preached this entire message. And I preached this entire message from beginning to end. And the entire thing, an entire message was finished in 6 whole minutes. I preached my first message and it was 6 minutes long. And it was so powerful and it was so moving that my pastor comes up after me and he says, thank you, Daniel. And I went and sat down. And then he opened up his Bible and he preached an entire new sermon. An entire message. He preached it after my powerful message. That message that changed the world. It was so powerful that he had to preach another message because clearly there was nothing in that message that was helpful to people. Well, I tell you what, those were days of humble beginnings. Those were days, truth is, I value those times. And he was so kind and loving to me. And he just encouraged me a lot, by the way. And so, my first message, the very first time I did it, I was filled with fear, put all the effort I could into it, and it was only 6 minutes long, and nobody gave their lives to Jesus. Well, I tell you what, 22 years on, you know, my messages aren't 6 minutes anymore. You know, because you watch more of them. And they're not 6 minutes anymore. And now I don't need anybody to come and preach a message after me. Now God's given me, I've been able to grow. I've been able to learn. I've got a lot more to go. I've got a lot more to learn. But all I'm saying is that after 22 years of giving thanks for what I had, if we start where we are, then God can take us to where He wants us to be. But we'll never be where God wants us to be until we start. We got to give thanks. Somebody shout, give thanks. Give thanks. Then the second thing that Jesus does, the Bible says He takes His loaves and these fishes and He gives thanks. And then what He does is He blesses it. Hey, He begins to speak blessing over what He's got. I want to encourage somebody right now where you are. Everything in your life, you can choose to bless it or you can choose to curse it. And I want to encourage you as a person of faith, not to look at your situation and go, that's not good, or not to curse things, not to speak things down. No, but to build things up, declare blessing. Hey, go and declare blessing over your children. Go and declare blessing over your bank account. Go and declare blessing over your spouse. Go and declare blessing over your spouse-to-be if you're a single person. Begin to declare blessing. Speak the blessing of the Lord. The Bible says that life and death is in the tongue. Out of your tongue, out of your mouth, comes either blessing or cursing. Choose you this day to speak blessing. Speak blessing over people you see. Even when people criticize you, even when people judge you, it's not the fact that you've done anything wrong necessarily. Most of the time, the reason that they're critical of you is because they have a critical spirit themselves, and they're just speaking out of the overflow of what's in them. Don't take it personal. I know over the years, there have been, you know, a whole bunch of people who haven't always said nice things to me, and I used to take it so personal, and it used to hurt me so bad, you know, and this might be hard to believe, but I want everybody to like me. I want to be a liked pastor. I want people to love me. And then, you know, then there've been moments, not many moments, but a few moments where people are like, oh, why did you say that? And it can hurt you so bad. Well, I want to encourage you. Don't take it personal and don't speak back hate. If people speak hate towards you, you'll never minimize it. You'll never abolish it by speaking more hate. All it does is that you'll stir things up. But what you've got to do is speak blessing. What you've got to do is speak love. Dr. Martin Luther King says this. He says, hate cannot destroy hate. Only love can do that. Right now, we live in an environment and in a culture that can be toxic, that can be critical, that can be judgmental in a snapshot. Let's make a decision to be bigger than that. Let's choose to respond to criticism with love. Let's choose to respond to judgment with compassion. Let's choose to be a blessing in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout, bless it. Choose blessing. Speak blessing over every person and every situation and everything. It may not be going the way that I want it. It may not be going the way that I expect. But we can still choose to live with an eye of blessing. I choose to see the good. I choose to see the blessing in it. Somebody shout, bless it. Bless it. Right now where you're watching, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, right now if you're watching and you don't have your own relationship with Him, then I want to pray with you and I want to lead you in this prayer. And the Bible says that all we have to do is to come to Him when we're weary, burdened, heavy laden, and He will give us rest. And then it goes on and it says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so right now, doesn't matter where you're watching, doesn't matter what you've done in your life right now, if you don't have your own relationship with God, if right now you couldn't say that you're right with God, if right now you're saying you're distant from God, then my friend, you don't need to be distant anymore. You can pray a prayer. And as you pray that prayer, it's like you're taking one step towards God and the Lord takes 1,000 steps towards you. So right now where you're watching, if that's you and you're saying, preacher, include me in that prayer. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I want you to, if you want to be included in this prayer, I want you to write yes in the chats. I want you to click that yes box, that yes link right now wherever you are. And our campus pastors, our online leaders will make contact with you because we believe in you. And we believe this decision is so incredibly important. But if that's you, when I count to three, if that's you, type yes. One, you don't know Jesus. Two, you're not right with God. Three, write yes. I see those yeses.
We're so grateful for you. We're so proud of you. Nothing in your life is wasted, my friend. No mistake you've ever made, nothing you've ever done could keep God's love from you. He loves you so much. We love you so much. So right now, we're so proud of you. There's a party going on in heaven right now, rejoicing for you, and we're rejoicing with you as well. But if you typed yes, I want you to repeat this prayer after me out loud, wherever you are. Everybody in that room, if you're in a room full of people, everybody's going to repeat this prayer out loud together. Repeat after me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me so much. You died on the cross and rose again to forgive me of my sin. From today on, I'm living for you. I give you my whole heart. I give you my whole life. I'm holding on to you because you always held on to me. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your amazing grace. I thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name." Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for every person right now who's prayed that prayer. And I just declare the blessing of Almighty Heaven. I thank you, Lord God, that there's nothing we can do to be separated from your love. And I thank you that right now, that people are receiving your love, some for the first time, some receiving your love again. And I declare your blessing. I declare your favor. All things have gone. New things have come. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. We're celebrating with you. Right now, I want to pray for everybody else who's watching. And there are people right now, and there are people watching right now, and you've held guilt for many years over certain things. And I want you to know that the Lord doesn't want you living guilt. The Lord doesn't want you living shame. Yeah, there are some people who are holding on to things that people may have said to them. And even some people holding on to things that people have said who are no longer alive. And my friend, the Lord wants you to be free. The Lord wants you to bask in His glory and bask in His grace. And there are people right now who just need to hear this word. This is a word for you. Nothing is wasted. When we were growing up, growing up in church, we used to sing a song by a man named Steve Apirana. And the song simply went like this: "Something beautiful, something good. All my confusions, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful out of my life." The Lord's about to make something beautiful out of your life. So right now, I want to pray for people. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for every person who's watching. I declare a release in Jesus' name. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I declare freedom. I thank you, Lord God. We receive your forgiveness. We receive.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.